How's that? That's better?
Woo.
Yep.
That's on.
Okay. Good evening. Let me start with prayer. Father God, I thank you that you are a God who speaks, and I pray now that you would give us ears to listen to your word. Help us to be attentive to what you have to say to us, and I pray that you would help us to be wise in our speech. Amen. Okay, I'd like to start with a very well-known proverb. This one's not from the Bible. I'm only going to tell you the first half, and then I want you to say the rest of it back to me, because I'm sure you all know it. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but... Yeah, okay, it's a very well-known proverb. I remember teachers in primary school saying that to kids in the playground when they were being bullied. Say, just go back and tell those bullies, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. There is, however, a contrasting view. The TV comedians Leno and Woodley. How many of you watch Leno and Woodley? Yeah, there's a few hands. Well, silly stuff, but some funny stuff too. There's one particular episode where Frank Woodley has his own take on that saying. He says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will only cause me permanent psychological damage. Now, funnily enough, I think Leno and Woodley actually have expressed a superior wisdom. Ironically. See, the words that we speak are enormously powerful. They're not just meaningless. It's not just sound waves in the air. It actually can have a very, very big impact on the lives of the people around us. And we see this in the book of Proverbs. So I've got some Proverbs up on the screen. The book of Proverbs, we read this. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. And there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. And then check out this one. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. There is enormous power in words. So if our words are this powerful, we need to learn to be wise in the way that we speak. If we're going to wield such a powerful tool, we want to make sure that we use it for good and not for harm. So I've got a couple of tips for you from the book of Proverbs. Our first tip is to be quick to listen and slow to speak. I'll say that again. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. You may have heard another common old saying, maybe your grandmother's taught you this or something, but there's a reason why God gave us two ears and only one mouth. It's because it's twice as important to listen as it is to speak. I once tried teaching that to my Sunday school class when I was doing ministry in Canberra, but it backfired on me one week. I had one boy, his name was Max, lovely kid, but this one week he just would not stop talking. He just wouldn't pay attention. So I said to him, Max, you need to listen. And he just kept on talking to the kid next to him. So I said, Max, why did God give us two ears and only one mouth? And smart aleck little seven-year-old says, so I can listen to you and have a conversation with him at the same time. That's not bad for a seven-year-old. So I was meant to be angry with him, but after that, I was too amused. I couldn't bring myself to discipline the kid. So Max didn't get the point, but the saying is a good one. It really is twice as important that we listen than to speak. I think we see that all throughout the book of Proverbs. So here's another list for you. Check out these ones. Yep. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools... Did I just read that same one twice? I did. 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. It gets a bit repetitive when you read through that list, doesn't it? Again and again, we read that the fool just has words just gushing out his mouth. He's got this verbal diarrhea problem. He's not really interested in listening to what other people have to say. He just wants to get out what he wants to say. Whereas the wise man, on the other hand, he shows restraint. He weighs up his words before he speaks. And he listens to what others say in order to respond appropriately. Now, sadly, I think it's a common feature of everyday conversation that we don't really listen to one another. Now, I'm sure you've all been part of conversations where, rather than actually engaging with what someone is saying, everyone's just kind of waiting to jump in with what they want to say. You've all been part of conversations like that? If you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, I have an example for you. This apparently is a real-life conversation that was recorded where four elderly ladies went to visit a friend in hospital who's just been through an operation. So it'll come up on the screen. Okay, check out this conversation. So the patient who they've gone to visit says, "This was such a painful operation. I didn't think I'd be able to stand it. It was just..." And then friend A speaks up. "Oh, speaking of operations, I had my gallbladder out in Memorial Hospital in 1976. What a time I had." And then friend B. "That's the hospital my grandson was taken to when he broke his arm. Dr. Bayer set it." Friend C. "Oh, did you know Dr. Bayer lives on my street? They say he has an alcohol problem." Friend D. "Well, alcohol's not nearly so bad as drugs. The son of the principal of the high school, he's really messed up by drugs. He shouldn't deal with other people's kids if he can't manage his own." It's hard to believe that was a real conversation, isn't it? All right, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to have a chat to the person sitting next to you, and I want you to discuss what impact would that conversation have had on the patient that those four friends have gone to visit. So take 30 seconds, have a chat. Okay, I'm not going to give you very long. What's some of the ideas you've had? Sorry, you would love more time, I know. What do you think? Someone want to call out what they thought? Left. Sorry?
You should feel left out.
You should feel left out. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, great friends, hey. Yep. I think these words, this conversation they had, I think it would have had a really damaging impact. Because, I mean, words like this basically amounts to, "We don't really care about you. We just want to say what we want to say." It would have been better if they'd just been quiet and listened and not said anything at all. So, you see, if we're going to speak wisely in a way that will build people up rather than hurt people, we actually need to care about people enough to listen to what they have to say, rather than just being so selfish as to think that what we want to talk about is the most important thing. So our first tip from the book of Proverbs is be quick to listen and slow to speak. Tip number two from the book of Proverbs. Our second tip is that it is always good, it is always wise to tell the truth, and it is always foolish to lie. I'll say that again. It is always wise to tell the truth, and it is always foolish to lie. Let's have a look at some examples from the book of Proverbs again. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Be not a witness against your neighbour without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbour and says, "I'm only joking." A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. There are some pretty strong words about lying from the book of Proverbs. But I want to show you one more passage, this time from the Gospel of John. So in John chapter 8, so the next passage will come up on the screen, Jesus is talking about the devil. Have a listen to what Jesus has to say about the devil. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Let's contrast that with God. We have another verse back again in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Every word of God proves true, and he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Lying? That's the stuff of the devil, who seeks to kill and destroy. But God is always truthful, and God is good, and he is a shield to protect us from evil. So we all know lying's a bad thing. So I've got another question for you. I'm going to give you maybe 15 seconds, not long. Have a chat with the same person next to you. And this time the question I want you to discuss is, why do we tell lies? You know it's wrong, so why do we do it? Take another 15 seconds to chat with the person next to you. Okay, I didn't give you long. I'm sorry. What are some of the reasons you came up with? Do you want to call out some answers? Why do we tell lies?
Self-preservation.
Self-preservation? Okay.
Embellishment.
Embellishment. Yeah, I caught a fish this big. Yep. Any other ideas? Yep. Maybe to protect other people, you think? Perhaps. Look, I think we all know telling lies is wrong. Let me suggest this reason as to why we tell lies. I think we tell lies because we have believed the devil's lie, and we accuse God of being a liar. That sounds a bit whoa out there. So let me explain what I mean. Okay, God says it is always better to tell the truth. But then I got this situation come up. You know, I got an assignment due. I didn't do it. Now, if I confess to my teacher or my lecturer, the reason I haven't done it is because I stayed up all night playing computer games and I forgot I had an assignment. If I tell the truth, I'm going to fail. So that's where the devil comes along and says, well, God says it's always better to tell the truth, but you and I know that you'll fail if you do that. You'd be much better off If you just say that, like, your grandmother died or something like that, you'll get an extinction and then it'll all be fine. We've got a bit of a decision. Who are we going to trust? Are we going to believe God or are we going to believe the devil? And then we think to ourselves, well, it's clearly not in my best interest to fail this course. And so we lie. We think we'll be better off. But now, which is actually better for you? Is it actually better to fail, to learn your lesson, to learn to be disciplined and diligent, and to learn that your laziness has consequences? Or is it better for you to get away with your laziness, to continue living as a bit of a lazy bum, and then when your teacher finds out that this is the fifth grandmother that's died this year, and, well, then you're going to end up failing anyway, and they'll never believe anything you say. See, God tells us to do the things that he says because he cares about us. He actually wants what is in our best interests. But the devil wants us to believe that, no, you can't trust God. He doesn't know what's good for you. You'd be better off if you told a lie, if you chose the path of sin. See, the devil is the father of lies, and he gets us to be like him by persuading us of the lie that sin is good and God is bad. You'd be better off if you sinned. So you might think, well, telling lies, that's not a big sin. It's not like murder or anything. It's just a little thing. Let's consider it from God's perspective. When we lie, we're effectively saying, God, you're a liar. I don't trust you. In fact, I think the devil is more trustworthy than you. That's pretty extreme. God's not very happy about that. We see again in the book of Proverbs, God's response to the evil and wickedness of our lies. So we have another slide up here with a couple more Proverbs. These two, both from chapter 19. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. That's a problem for us, isn't it, friends? Is there anyone here who would like to put up their hand and say they've never told a lie? We wouldn't believe you if you did. Look, I know I'm guilty of telling lies as well. We all are. And we all fall under the wrath and condemnation of God, who has promised that he will destroy people for their sin of lies. So we look at Proverbs, and we've seen kind of two tips on how to have wise speech. Firstly, be slow to speak and quick to listen, and always tell the truth, don't tell lies. You see, we've got a much bigger problem going on. See, our problem is not that, oh, we didn't know it was wrong to tell lies, and I'd never thought about listening to people. That's not our problem. Our problem is that we've got sinful hearts. So we have a much more important lesson that we need to learn. We need to be confronted with the fact that we do not live up to the standards that God expects of us. That we are guilty of sin. That we are guilty of the selfishness of saying what we want to say rather than listening to others. And we are guilty of not trusting God and speaking lies. Indeed, even going so far as to act as though God himself were a liar. So I could have just given you a two-point sermon. Be a good listener and tell the truth. Now if you go, go and do it. But if that's all I said, that wouldn't do you a scrap of good. It wouldn't help you at all. Because we need to deal with the issue that is in our hearts. I want you to look at how Jesus himself describes the problem of our words. This time in the book of Matthew and chapter 12. It'll be coming up on the screen. I'm not sure. Can you read that font okay? That is okay? Yep. Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. See, we speak evil because our hearts are evil. Our words are just the overflow of our hearts. So the only way we can change our speech to be good and wise words is if our hearts are changed and transformed. We need to replace the evil in our hearts with good. So I want us to consider two different ways that God has provided for us to meet the problems that we face here. We've seen the problem that we are guilty of sin before God and that we are habitually speaking foolishly. But God has provided provision to deal with both of those things. So firstly, and this is perhaps the most important thing that I will say tonight, is the provision of forgiveness that we have. See, we have established that we deserve God's condemnation for our evil speech. And it is for that reason that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus never told a lie, and he never spoke an evil word because there was no evil or sin in him. And yet, he was crucified. He went to his death on a cross so that he could pay for the sins that you and I are guilty of. He took the punishment for us. Now, you might think that the sin of your words is really not that bad, but it required the crucifixion of the Son of God to pay the penalty for that sin. So the first and most important thing we need to hear is that God has offered us forgiveness. We don't need to stand under the condemnation of God. You only need to come to Jesus and put your trust in him to receive forgiveness and to have all that slate wiped clean. God has provided the ultimate gift, forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you hear me say nothing else tonight, hear this. Come to Jesus if you haven't already and find forgiveness in him. But there's also a second provision that God gives. See, God could just say, okay, you're guilty of sin. Here's some forgiveness. That's all covered. But then just kind of leave us wallowing in our sin. But God has also given us means of being able to grow in our day-to-day life, of being able to actually grow in wisdom, to grow in godliness, and to grow in obedience to him in the way we live. And one way that God has provided for us to do that is by giving us his own words. He's given us his scriptures, the Bible, so that that might change us. See, God's word is powerful. In the very first chapter of the Bible, we read that God created the universe by the power of his words. That's some powerful words. And now those words God has given to us in the Bible that they might change us and be at work in our hearts as well. So if you want to speak wise words, may I suggest this is a really, really important thing for you to be doing, that you store up the Word of God in your heart. Let the Word of God transform you and change your life. And then as the Word of God is stored up in your heart, when you open your mouth to speak, that good Word of God, that kind of wisdom might come out your mouth. So that first tip we looked at earlier, that it's twice as important to listen as it is to speak, I think has turned out to be even better than it first sounded. If we want to be wise, we must listen to what God has to say to us. See, if listening to people, listening to one another is really important, which it is, how much more important is it that we listen to God when he speaks? So I'm going to close now just by recapping one of the Proverbs we looked at earlier. So Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, it's up there on the screen for you. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that your word is true and that you have given us your word to make us wise and to give us wise hearts. We ask that you would change our hearts so that we might be wise in speech. We ask that you would forgive us for our sins that we have committed, for the foolishness of our speech, and that you would forgive us for failing to believe your good word. We ask forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And Father, please change us that we might live for him and that we would glorify him in our speech. Amen.
Friends, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together now. And there'll be a bunch of words up on the screen.